Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on. And I feel no pain every beat of my heart. We got something going on. Tender love is blind. It requires a dedication. All this love we feel needs no conversation. We're riding together, making love with each other.
Businesswoman, genius out there at Dollyville. I tell you, she is something else. I've talked to her a couple of times. Going to try to have Dolly on the show. Been trying to get her on now for a while. She's been so busy running here to and fro. So we'll get Dolly on here pretty soon. And a few other folks that I grew up playing music with. I grew up playing with Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's a shame Stevie had that horrible crash. I was devastated when that happened. And of course, Sonny Bono, I knew Sonny, and played with all the old country stars. And you know, most of these guys are dying or dead, like Mickey Gilley. But, you know, all those days are over, man. I used to hang around the old Top Rail and the Debonair Dance Plant and sing with all of the greats. And, of course, at Billy Bob's Texas, singing and dancing with the governor, line dancing with Governor Richards, my old boss out there in Texas. But, yeah, miss those days, 6:05 p.m. on the clock, 9/15/2023. This old man is getting old. I tell you what, I got a birthday coming up here pretty soon. But I'm still kicking. I'm still kicking. It's good to have you all here tonight. BlogTalkRadio.com, Alternative Public Radio International, top-rated, one of the top-rated alternative shows in the nation, if not around the world. And we're very thankful to our listeners for coming along this great ride with us all these years. For the last 20 years, it's been wonderful. We're headed towards 6,000 shows now that we've done in 20 years, and I'm very thankful, very proud, and I want to thank all of my people out there for just doing what they do, you know. And it's never been about popularity for me, and it's never been about money. To say, well, it should have been about money, but it's just now starting to become important to me. Money, funding. You know, you guys know how hard we've struggled to keep this station alive. You know, it's not easy. You know, people don't realize the hours and hours and hours that go into these programs and projects and special events and missions and causes and all of the critical outreach and community outreach that we do. Most people just have no clue what goes into any of that at all. They just live their little lives in their little bubble, their little microcosms, and they never come out of their little box. And, you know, it's a tough road here, man. It's a tough road. Broadcasting is difficult if you do it right. And, you know, we have 27 platforms to maintain out there. And that's a lot of work. You know, sometimes I hit, sometimes I hit 11, 15,000 keystrokes a day. You know, we're being 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. If it's not radio, it's critical outreach or community development, or we're running some other fires or evacuations with the disaster team. So stay very busy. I was kind of hanging around here hoping Chris would show up, or Tim. Tim's not here yet. Michael has been pretty drugged up, from the surgery. He's doing okay. I haven't gotten a word in the last few hours, but as far as I know, he's okay. But I don't know if he'll show up tonight. He's pretty sleepy. They got him pretty drugged up on my favorite drug, morphine and Demerol. Oh, would I die for that stuff? I tell you, give me 75 of Demerol, and you can just bring it on, baby. I'm ready. I love it. It's amazing. I haven't had any Demerol in years, but boy, when I did, I fell in love with that shit, I tell you. Yeah, Destiny Global Communications Network. Don't forget about our nonprofit organization. We're having a little trouble getting certified up here in the Northwest, but it's going to work out just fine. It just takes time. A lot of bureaucracy, a lot of paperwork. You know how it is with the government. A lot of hoops to jump through, and all the I's have to be dotted and all the T's have to be crossed, so we're working on that. Very powerful show tonight, though, ladies and gentlemen. I had a vision last night. I had a vivid dream, probably one of the most powerful experiences in 66 years. Last night, I reached a pinnacle of nirvana. I was in deep meditation for a couple of hours. And, you know, I've been meditating for 25 years, in at least 13 different forms of meditation. And of course, you know, I've been to Tibet, and I have, pounded the rice outside the temples of Tibet for a year. I was on the silence for a year and celibacy for a year, not able to speak a word for 1 year. That can be very, very difficult, but can also be very healing and very challenging and very wonderful, very mysterious. I did make it into the temple. I did become a Master Shia. and a yogi. And I've done a lot of things, been a lot of places. I think that was one of my greatest experiences, swimming naked with the Dalai Lama. I'm sitting in the hot tub naked with the Dalai Lama. Was probably my greatest experience. I remember spending a week with the Dalai Lama and his crew. Learned a lot. Did some understudy with the Dalai Lama, and very interesting. But this vision I had last night was just extraordinary. It's just extraordinary. It's something that folks like us we long for. You know. We long for those kinds of explosive, mysterious, poignant moments of consciousness. And boy, did I have one last night. Let me tell you, for the first time, I was transported to a place where I could see the whole of existence and beyond, metaphorically, of course. And, you know, science has spent trillions and trillions and trillions trying to reach this place where the one is the all and the all is the one. We talk about this a lot. Most people don't know what the hell they're talking about when they're talking, but that's just the way life goes. I woke up in a daze, and I woke up just hypnotized in a trance. And all of a sudden, I could see so clear how utterly meaningless our lives are. I mean, this is when you reach nirvana. When I was in Tibet, I had one of these experiences too. And of course, my Zen teachers told me about these moments. You know, when you reach the pinnacle of nirvana, most people think they're going to see Disneyland, you know, or something. You're going to find out just how meaningless our lives are, just how silly, foolish our lives are, and how super ego driven the majority of the global population is, and how this gets in the way of the direction of many of us would like to see this simulation going, is that super ego and that pride and that need to tell everybody how smart you are and how, you know, how wise you are and how fantastic you are and how powerful you are. And, you know, it's amazing. That super ego, these super ego driven people, I find myself sometimes getting into that mode myself, you know, at times, and I have to kind of catch myself, and sometimes I don't catch myself, sometimes I just move on through it. Radio shows are interesting. We get into these radio shows, we meet all kinds of personalities, I meet all kinds of personalities, you know. I come head-to-head with all of these different personalities and different perceptions, and it's very, very interesting how these interactions take place. It's very interesting what's going on in the minds of the ones communicating with each other. And when you reach a certain point in your awakening, you're able to see deeply into the minds of other people, and you're able to see deeply into the psychology of other people, what's going on in the mind, the brain, the mind and the brain connection. You know, you're able to see that much more clearly when you're in a state of higher consciousness and higher awareness. But the secret of this whole visionary thing, this vision quest, is to see just how meaningless everything is. And this is very powerful. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that sounds terrible. That's just depressing. No, not at all. Not at all. You know, you're looking for that meaninglessness in all of your vision quest and all of your meditations. You're looking for that complete, empty, blank canvas, which is so hard to reach with all the little mice running around in your head on those little hamster wheels. You know, it's so hard to get rid of the chatter. We call it chatter, or we call it noise in neurolinguistic programming. We call it noise. It's so difficult to get rid of the noise, you know. And the ultimate goal when people first start meditating, I always tell them to just let everything rush in, you know, like a tsunami, because it will. You know, the more you try not to think, the more you will think, you know. And I tell people that's perfectly normal, perfectly okay. Just let it all come in. Push it out, you know, try to push it out. No, you can't do that. The brain has a tendency to want to take the conversation, take over the situation, and it takes a long time to be able to move beyond that chatter and that noise in our lives. But that super ego-driven majority of the global population is, and how this gets in the way of directing many of us, and in the way that the world would like to be. We all have our different ideas, concepts, philosophies, belief systems, cultures, projections, perceptions, attitudes and behaviors, education, levels, experience, indoctrination, misinformation, disinformation, programming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is something many of you let go in one ear and out the other. When I talk about that, you'll very seldom come back with a narrative on that. We are built for obsolescence, ladies and gentlemen. I guess you all know by now. Products are built with obsolescence. The ones we get out of China, even some of the ones we get out of America, everything's built for obsolescence, which means it's built to break. It's built to die. It's built to break down. And we're built to break down. We're built to die. Yeah, we're built for obsolescence and death. You know, we are only on this radar for a split second. And I do mean a split second, you know, in this space call the reality, the illusion, the delusion of reality. Very, very, very few will ever reach what I saw last night, for it would be way, way too much for them to handle. It was very, very difficult for me to handle. It was very, very difficult for me to handle, but it was a rush like no other rush I've ever had before. I'm actually still channeling from that moment, downloading from that moment. It seems like it will be just a continuous download from here on out, especially finding out that all of what we think and what we see is but a dream within a dream within a dream. You know, I've told you all, and I've talked on this subject a lot, many of you still are trapped in this insanity of materialism and physicality. Many of you are still trapped in this idea that you're somehow human, and then you attach a self to that, or an I, and then a we comes a we, and then a they, and then an us, and then the insanity just ensues from there. And then you start attaching labels and start attaching concepts and judgment to those, and then it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. You know, the vision I saw took me over 25 years to be able to see, because it takes at least 10 years of daily meditation and practice of many different types of meditation, not just one, to even get a glimpse of what I came into last night and this morning. It takes about 25 years. I stood in the now moment that I am always talked about here on air. I stood in that now moment, which is, of course, the only thing that exists. The past does not exist. The future will never be. Only the now moment is there for us to see. That now moment, that very special and misunderstood and mysterious now moment that you're all living in right now, this very moment. But for the first time, it took my breath away as I stood in that now moment, getting the downloads from that vivid dream, that vision. I saw, you know, I experienced the all in totality and the mind-blowing complexity of infinity. I know you've all seen the infinity symbol, how short it is. You know, opinions, fade away. Belief systems fade away. Morals and dogma fade away. These are completely meaningless in that beautiful void, that beautiful space and place of total emptiness. Mind-blowing complexity of infinity, and yet the now moment is, you're standing in the now moment, and you're contemplating this calculation of infinity or eternity. Opinions, belief systems, morals, dogma all fade away. Behavior, attitudes, concepts, philosophies fade away. You know, how smart you are, how tall you are, how fat, how skinny, how long your hair is, what kind of music do you play, blah, 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 blah. It all becomes just so stupid and meaningless. Tonight, I really wanted to talk about this because it was such a riveting moment, such a riveting moment for me to experience after 25 years of meditation. It was a beautiful moment. You know, everything else that you think you know is just gone. And everything that you thought you knew is just erased. And reality is just erased as you think it to be or believe it to be when you're in your, what we call our superconscious mind, or even our subconscious mind. You still have that idea that you're in reality somehow. And a lot of people, like I said earlier, a lot of people are not able to handle the fact that they're not in reality, that reality doesn't exist. And the moment that you're living, actually you're only seeing maybe 0.1%, and I'm probably overstating that or understating that, 0.1% of the light spectrum that creates this illusion of reality, which all of this information riding upon the backs of photons and protons and muons and quarks in their spin, in their trajectory and mass and angular momentum, and all of these other wonderful qualities of spooky particles at a distance and particle wave. Is it a particle? Is it a wave? Is it a particle? Is it a wave? The double split experiment, Schrodinger's cat. All of these things that we talked about here on the show all become very apparent, and everything rushes through your mind. It's very difficult to get a hold on this. I tell you, it was just an awe-inspiring moment to reach that pinnacle of nirvana. It's an awe-inspiring moment to reach that period to where you look back and you see how meaningless and how silly and how stupid and how foolish. I was talking to the Dalai Lama about this back at the Manor House in Dallas one time, and he was explaining to me that this is the ultimate moment, you know, is when you realize just how insignificant you are and how meaningless you are and how invisible you are and how you're wrapped up in this little bubble of ego that gives you the energy to move on to the next moment in time, and how the brain tricks you into believing that you're this, that, or the other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a game, you know. It's a dog and pony show. It's a cerebral dog and pony show. It's insane. It's like the insane clown posse. It's insane. You have all these silly ideas and beliefs and thoughts and concepts and philosophies, and you just bounce from one to the other and one to the other and one to the other, like a kind of like a pinball and a pinball machine, never really settling in and being able to get a glimpse of this thing that I saw last night, the ultimate totality of existence, if we can call it existence. And one thing I noticed last night that was very, very important, one thing I realized was that there is no substrate. You know, for the first time, I'm coming out publicly and saying this. Never thought I would say this. Never thought I would actually grasp the fact that there is no substrate, you know. There is no DOS. running the system. You know, there is no DOS running the system. There is no operating system. The thing that you're experiencing is the all and the one at the same time. And it's very difficult to wrap your head around this. It's very, very difficult to wrap your head around this. You are the one. You are the all. You are both alive and dead at the same time, like Schrodinger's cat. Go take a look at that theory tonight. You are both alive and dead at the same time. You have already existed. You have already become. And you have already gone. And this illusion that you hold in your mind for a brief, just a brief time, is amazing, mysterious, and powerful. But you really need to understand, like when we have these conversations on radio, I wanted to bring this up too. You know, everybody, and Chris and I, have probably been the two that have talked about this the most, Chris and I. How people want to be special, you know, when you talk to people and when they're on air, all they're doing is selling you a bill of goods. They're powerful. They're strong. They're connected. They're a CEO. They have business partners. They have magical hands. They can wave their hands and change the weather. They can wave their hands and, you know, change the wind direction and stop the rain and bring the hail and bring the sunshine. And, you know, they're financially able and they've got this and they've got that and they're doing this and they're doing that. And all the time, they're actually doing nothing. Actually nothing except talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. They may be doing 6% of what they're trying to convince you that's 80% of what they're doing. And if somebody tells you they have a gazillion connections, they probably have maybe three, and two of those probably don't agree with them. So it's just these conversations are interesting, and when you come to a vision like I had last night, it's the ultimate vision of you start realizing just how insane all of this shit is and how silly all of these conversations that we have are. But at the same time, as I said with the Dalai Lama, who advised me that meaninglessness is what you're looking for. You're looking for that moment of meaninglessness when you realize just how small you are in comparison to the totality, how insignificant you are in comparison to the totality, and just how powerless you are in the realm of totality. And how these present moment is so important. You know, so many people still think there's a past. They still think they did something yesterday, and they still believe they're going to do something tomorrow. And this is so interesting to me because it really hit me hard last night. I mean, it was like bang, 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 like a sledgehammer on the head. I saw it for the first time that, you know, this now moment is all there is, and it's not even stacked one event on top of the other, as in string theory. It's actually an event replacing an event every tenth of a nanosecond or 100 billionth of a nanosecond. Replacement, 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 and you're actually standing still with the illusion that you're moving. Movement is an illusion in this particular simulation, this particular space and place. Movement is an illusion, you know. Being connected to something is an illusion. You know, the domino effect. The dominoes on the table, you push one and they all fall down, when in reality, or this moment of clarity, you all of a sudden realize that one domino had nothing to do with the other domino whatsoever. Like I said on the show the other night, the coffee has nothing to do with the cup. The sugar has nothing to do with the coffee. The bottle has nothing to do with the drink that you're drinking. You know, the pants have nothing to do with your body, but you're putting them on. I mean, it's just all of these things that you need to realize in order to gain the wisdom of the ages, in order to really expand your consciousness and awareness to a point where you can really see infinity, really see the totality, really see the meaninglessness. And all of this is what makes it so mysterious and powerful, is when you can see the total absurdity of meaning, the total absurdity of belief systems and emotions and certain behaviors, attitudes and concepts and perceptions and experiences, the total idiocracy of all of this, the total insanity behind all of these thoughts. It just gives you a giggle, you know. And I asked the Dalai Lama one time, why do you always just have this big grin on your face? And he said, you'll know when you reach the pinnacle. You'll know when you reach the pinnacle. And last night I reached the pinnacle. And now I realize just how insane all of this is. I look at it so much differently today than I have in the past. After last night, it will probably change the rest of my life. We lost faith. I don't know what happened. She may have lost faith in me again here tonight. I hope she comes back on talking about some of these things. She may think I'm talking about her. You know, this is another thing people have trouble with, and that's that you'll be talking about something or giving a narrative or a description of something, and people think you're talking about them. You know, they take it personally, and this is a terrible, terrible thing. You actually may be getting an example of them or speaking from something they did or did not do at some point in time as an example, but you're not really coming down on them. You're not dissing them as it would be. You know, you just, they've reminded you of something or some trait or some psychosis or some abnormal psychology that happens, you know, in these realms. And so that's where we get our ideas from, is other people, right? We get our ideas from other avatars. If there wasn't any other avatars on the planet, it would be like a Twilight Zone movie where the guy was on Earth all by himself and everyone else was gone. And he was like, where is everybody? You know? So we have this amazing interaction with others, and this helps to formulate our ideas and our concepts of ourselves. You know, we're looking in the mirror when we're looking at other people. We're looking in the mirror of sorts. We're gaining knowledge and wisdom and information. It's changing the course of our thinking. It's changing our opinions at times, depending on how strong the one is you're talking to, how powerful the one is you're talking to, how believable the one is you're talking to, how honest and how transparent the one that you're talking to is. You will either take that in or you will reject that information. And this is how our personalities develop. And that's interesting when you stop and think about it. When you go back and you rewind and look at that, it's very interesting how we develop our personalities by living with other primates. And it's just very interesting how this is how we develop, is through everything outside of us. Nothing inside of us is developing. Everything outside of us is bringing the development inside of us. And then we're having a moment of clarity from all of the incoming information to our five senses and all of the filtering that goes on that we talk about on this show. So nothing you do came from you. Nothing you are came from you. Nothing you ever will be came from you. It came from your surroundings. It came from misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, programming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it came from those in your life who set the examples for you along the way as to how to think and how to feel and how to walk and how to talk and how to act and how to dress and how to comb your hair and how to shit, shower, and shave. It all came from someone else somewhere else, okay? All of your etiquette, all of your culture, all of your tradition, all of your creed, all of your dogma, your religion, all of these things, your philosophy, came from a gazillion places around you. And as long as you have been here in this particular simulation. So nothing is you. Nothing belongs to you. It belongs to everyone else. And you can thank everyone else for making you as fucked up and dysfunctional as you are, or as smart and clever as you are. you can thank everyone else around you all of your life, all of those people that have been within your reach since you were born. You can thank them, or you cannot thank them, depending on how you turned out. But that's basically kind of the opening of the show tonight, is what I wanted to talk about, this great vision I had last night. What a moment. What an explosive moment it was. And I also want to lay down some ground rules here for the show tonight before we move on. And I open Chris's mic up, and I think Spanky might be here. I want you guys to keep your responses down to 60 seconds. And I want you to stop interrupting me. I want you to stop interrupting Chris. I want you to stop interrupting each other. You know, there's some on here that are worse than others. Michael would be the worst in the world, and Michael knows it. Michael and I have had this conversation on air 1,000 times, you know. Billy the Butcher was the worst of all, coming on air drunk all the time. And then I got Billy to stop drinking, and he's praised me for that ever since. But Billy's making movies now. He's a movie director, you know, he's a movie director out there in Austin, Texas. But running over each other is not a good thing to do. We need to spend about 60 seconds. Y'all do. Spend about 60 seconds. Producer, check the parking lot. Do a perimeter check. Strap your Ruger on. Get loaded. Go check it. But, yeah, you know, we need to 60 seconds at least. And then if it's a damn good comeback, 2 minutes maybe. Maybe 2.5 minutes. Maybe 3 if you're a genius. And you're really turning everybody on. And if you can turn me on, you can, well, that's hard to do. Turning me on is really hard to do. Just ask some of my ex-girlfriends. But yeah, if you're expressing and not impressing, that's a good thing too. Let's try not to impress each other with how smart and cute we are. Let's try to express to each other as much as possible. Expression is important. Expression is important in this game, you know, not to impress people, but to express people. And let's keep the comments coming out of my narrative and coming back at 60 seconds, unless you're just on a roll and you've really got something important to say and you're not just babbling and babbling and babbling and babbling about how smart you are, how pretty you are, how driven you are, how many connections you have, how rich you are, how resourceful you are, how whatever, mysterious you are. You know, all of these things that Michael has done and Spanky has done and Faith has done and everybody has done except Chris. Chris has never done this. And I guess, I don't know, we'll have to ask Chris what therapist he went to learn all of these wonderful things. But Chris has never done that on air or with me on the phone even. Everybody else is guilty of doing that. People just love to talk about themselves. I'm sure most of you know that by now. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. If you want to make friends with people, just let them talk about themselves. Just turn them loose with the microphone. My producer's laughing her ass off over here because she knows I've taught this so much on air. If you want to make really good friends with people, just let them talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about themselves. People love to talk about themselves and how smart they are and how resourceful and how wonderfully magic and mysterious they are and all of these things, you know, and they just go on and on and on and on, and as long as you're agreeing with them, they just love you, you know. But the minute you put a little stick in the spoke and the wheel stops turning and you have a problem with something, they don't like you all of a sudden. So you have to kind of be careful with all this stuff. But what we're talking tonight is important, you know. My Quora group is here. My graduate students are here. They love to hear me teach on these very difficult subjects. A lot of people have trouble swallowing these things because they know they're guilty as shit. You know, that's why I'm going to limit the comebacks to 60 seconds on the show now. Unless, like I said, unless you're just turning everybody on, man, and you're just like on a roll and you're like, oh my God, this is good. But if you start repeating yourself like an old guy like Biden with dementia, then I'm going to say, stop, 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 be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And don't interrupt each other on the show. If Faith is talking, don't interrupt Faith. If I'm talking, don't interrupt me. If Spanky's talking, don't interrupt him. If Chris is talking, don't interrupt him. And one last thing, I guess, for a beautiful show, and I've done this before, is don't preface. Spanky prefaces a lot. Michael used to preface. He doesn't anymore. you know, prefacing is when you say, now, I'm going to say this, but I hope you guys really don't get mad and everything. I just want to say it because I'm a black man, and, you know, I've got experience in this, and I just kind of want to say this. I'm like, shut up and say it, you dumbass. So it's like, just say what the fuck you got to say, you know, and shut the fuck up. Don't preface. Stop prefacing and apologizing for yourself. I have guests that come on, I have people that come on the round table, and they're always apologizing for themselves. It's like, now, you may not like what I'm about to say, Kyler, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it because I was married once and I had a girlfriend one time, and, you know, I'm just like, shut up. So, anyway, just be adults. Let's all be adults and just, God damn it, say what you got to say, you know. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm sitting here listening
Chris.
To you.
Yeah, well, tell me all
Can
about
you
it. What do you think? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, you sound like that telephone commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I got my two fingers up. Checking the way it is. But, yeah, you know,
so
I like
what
the
do you
idea
think?
Of the 60-second cutbacks. I like the fact that if somebody is talking, let them talk. If you've got something good enough to say, it can wait a minute. And we're not
right.
going to talk more than 60 seconds unless it's really good, right? So I like all that.
Right.
I mean, you know, a little dress, you know, that just gives us a little bit of structure. There ain't nothing wrong with structure. Structure is what I try to put into our children, you know, let them know that it takes structure. And you ain't going to get it unless you do something.
Right. Yeah, some people, they'll start talking. Some people will start talking on here, and I'll try to interrupt them, and they'll just keep talking like a robot, like they're not, you know, they don't even hear you. I'll be going, hello, can you, hello, yeah, but can you stop, wait. And they're just like, you know. So, anyway, it's crazy. But yeah, we're learning a lot tonight about my vision I had, my vision quest, my moment of nirvana, my moment where I went into that beautiful pinnacle of existence there in that just beautiful, beautiful place and space after 25 years of meditation. It's so beautiful to see how utterly fucking meaningless all of this is and how utterly stupid all of this is. You know, the Dalai Lama told me this years ago. And I often wondered what he meant by that and why these sages and yogis, if you'll look at them, they always have this grin on their face, like Sadhguru. You look at Sadhguru, you know, he's always got this grin on his face. And, you know, Sadhguru, he will be the first one to tell you how stupid he is, how ignorant he is, how uneducated he is, how savage he is, when he's one of the goddamn smartest men in the world. You know, and, you know, he'll be the first one to tell you, oh, I'm just very uneducated, savage, you know, I'm just crawling out of the jungle, you know. And he's, you know, the guy is beyond educated in a thousand different ways, you know. And others like him, you know. And then some people just like to talk about themselves and as I said before, how powerful they are, how wonderful they are, how beautiful they are, how mysterious they are, how pretty they are, how this they are, how that they are, oh, blah, 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 blah. Nobody wants to hear any of that shit. Nobody wants to hear any of that shit. If you're, you know, just say some beautiful things and some smart, clever, wonderful, powerful things and shut the fuck up and let everybody else say something about that and give you a comeback on it, and then we'll get through this whole thing much, much better. Spanky, are you with us?
Yes.
Yes, I am Spanky. Yes, I am Spanky. Spanky's on. Yes, Spanky's here. Oh, yes.
Oh, boy, that was funny. I was like, what are they? They have a SpongeBob. They have a SpongeBob language tonight.
Yeah, man. Give me a lighter. No, it's great. I'm just wanting to see if you were here, Spanky. It's cool. Hello, Faith, my sweetheart, my soulmate for life. How's it going?
Hi, I'm amazing. Thank you. How are each of you doing?
Well, we're hanging in there, baby. We're hanging in there, yeah. Baby. You know, today was better than yesterday. And as I said, we fought fire all night and evacuated a few people and, you know, did a lot of set up first aid station up in the mountains and haven't had a whole lot of sleep. But, you know, working out. I'm just glad you're here tonight. Did you get anything out of my narrative? You've been here since the beginning, pretty much. Did you get any glean, any wisdom from my narrative?
I had a rescue. My daughter had an emergency that I had to take care of, so I had to get off the line for a bit and deal with that. She was having some medical issues. But I'm here.
Oh, okay. That's too bad. Well, we're so glad you're here, Al.
Thank you.
You know, I want to segue into this is the fact that I think all of us here tonight, and I think everyone would agree, that we're only running at 20% capacity of our potential. And this is a fact. I mean, this is an empirical fact. We're running at 20%, and all of you know it. And we need to be running at 80, 85%. And you all know what it takes to do that. And you know how hard it is to do that. And you know how hard it is to make these connections that dreams and visions and mission. You know how hard it is. Chris knows how hard it is. Him and I talk about this all the time. We know how hard it is to talk to people and to try to convince people of your vision and your dream and your idea and your concept and your philosophy and the way things should run your way and, you know, what you think should happen. It's a sales game, y'all. Come on with me. Come on. It's a sales game. It's a sales game. And it's kind of funny. Chris and I was talking about this one night. You've got to be a little diabolical, which faith you are, you little devil, you. You got to be a little diabolical in your approach with people. You've got to be clever in your approach to people. You've got to be really thinking about what am I trying to get this person to do? Why am I having a relationship with this person? And what am I looking for? What kind of return on my investment of time and energy am I getting out of talking to this person on the phone right now or being with this person on the air right now? You should be looking for a return on investment in some way, shape, form, or fashion, and most of us are, and if you're not, you're retarded. If you're not, you're not successful, and if you're not, you're not going to ever be successful if you're not moving toward a point. I've been teaching Marion this for the last 25 years. Everything you do should demand an answer. Everything you do should demand a return on your investment. Everything you do should demand that things come together and things are working out and things are becoming profitable. Things are becoming successful, you know. Chris, I'd like for you to comment on that because you and I have talked about this extensively, Chris. I'd like for you to kind of comment on what I'm saying about all of this.
Well, give me a question you want me to respond to. I mean, you said a lot of things here. I mean, for me to sit here and go back on that narrative. I mean, about,
well, you should be,
you know,
taking
notes. Being responsible. I'm not taking notes. I'm definitely not writing anything down except for mental ones. I am listening, and I, you know, I definitely can follow direction, but there ain't no way, you know, sometimes as many questions or points you'll make in something and then ask somebody to give a response to it, I don't mind giving a response to anything else. Yeah. But, you know, 20 of them, you know, for me to aim off and go, hell, I can't do that in 60 seconds. So,
well, let's just say I'm asking you to reply on just how difficult communication and human intercourse is and how complex it really is and how difficult it really is if you are moving toward a goal or an objective or a vision or a dream or trying to close a gap or start an organization or make connections and resources, become financially independent. You need all of these variables fulfilled in order to make that a complete totality, to bring that to a realization, you need all of these talents and all of this wisdom and experience and lexicon and logos and vocabulary and personality and, you know, talk about that, charisma, and or you're just dead talking. We call it dead talking in linguistic programming. We call it dead talk, dead talk. A lot of people are just into dead talk.
Right. And, well, you know, if you're trying to get somebody to show enthusiasm into something, let them talk about themselves. Let them,
right,
you know, do that grandiose thing. And if you pay attention, you know, and you're able to actually hold on to the conversation and respond back to them, and it's, well, you're going to get them saying, you know, but then you do your mind's work, you know. You turn around and you throw a little bit of shit at them after you let them sell you on them, right? Because it's a big sales ship,
right?
And everything feels
right.
So it's you sell to me, I sell to you. But the thing is who's going to get the most value out of our conversation? It's
right.
going to come down to whether you pay attention to what you might not know. Because I'm going to pay attention if you got something you're going to show me. I'm going to be paying attention.
Right.
Why in the hell am I having a conversation?
Good.
That's
yeah.
the way I
yeah,
see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you also have to ask, are other people interested in what you have to say? This is something interesting I wanted to mention tonight. I'm glad you brought this up, Chris. I give you kudos for that. People need to stop and think when they're talking. Which very, very few people do, okay? They don't have this thing going for them. You need to ask yourself, do these people really give a shit about what I'm talking about right now? You know, I mean, do these people really give a shit that I've drawn this conversation out 3.5 minutes on air and I'm only talking about myself and how smart I am and how beautiful I am and how what a wizard I am and how many connections I have and how many resources I have and all the things I've done and all the places I've been, blah, 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 blah. You know, you have to stop. Some people have no control over themselves. And you have to ask yourself the first question, what I'm about to say meaningful? Is what I'm about to say powerful? And is what I'm about to say, does it connect with the overall vision and dream and goals and objectives of the team and the audience and the fan base? Faith, I'll let you comment on that one.
With structure and stability comes clear and sound communication. So those who are put into a place to communicate and conversate together, integrate in that way, there should be, like, I could talk at the same moment that you're talking and hear and comprehend everything that you're saying, but not everybody functions like that. Some beings might find that disrespectful if they don't know how to do it themselves as well. So there's certain types of folks who communicate and absorb information a certain way. Like, I have a group of others, we can get together and we can all talk at the same exact moment, holding multiple conversations at one moment about multiple subjects. And it's totally easy. Whereas in another set or another situation, I could have someone who needs to speak to hear themselves so they don't lose track of what they're thinking, because some moments they lose track of what they're thinking about. So it's really important for them just to say it so that they can get it out. And then it's not forgotten, because if it gets forgotten, they get frustrated because they don't want to go through that, and they already acknowledge that that might happen.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of putting the feelers out and feeling into the situation. But I do feel when it comes to specific topics and subjects, especially like in an open public forum where there's a speaker and there's those listening, that it's important to take a moment to listen. And if you want to write notes down and then talk up when it's that moment, that sounds sound as well.
And another important thing is when you're at a group setting and you're listening to a speaker, I always teach people, listen to the message. Don't throw out the messenger. You know, don't throw out the baby with the baby buggy. You know, listen to the message. Stop looking at the messenger's hair. Stop looking. He has his pants unzipped a little bit. Stop looking at his black shoes you don't like with his white socks. listen to what the messenger is saying. Listen to the message. Listen to the words. What is the messenger trying to put forth? You know what I'm saying? Because if you're talking to people like we are here and we're thinking about what we don't like about each other, we're not going to have a good conversation. We're not going to have a conversation that is successful, and we're not going to get a good return on our investment if we have these subconscious thoughts about the things we don't like or the abnormal psychology that we've picked up on from the other entity that we're talking to. So, yeah, that's important, very important. Spanky, you have anything to say about this really wonderful, powerful conversation? Because everybody here's got work they could do, you know.
Yeah, my thing, what I do is I sit back and I listen, take notes, and then when everything is over, you know, I sit back and I analyze and I break everything down and say, how can we do this? What's best for us and everything? And then I'll present it. You know, I say, hey, you know, you said this, you said that, and this is what I see out of my eyes, and try to pull everything together. You know,
the only I used you as an example a while ago as one who's too apologetic. So that's one of your problems, one of your idiosyncrasies. I've got 1,000 idiosyncrasies, so we would be here for 5 months if I told you all my faults. But one of your main faults is you apologize too much. You're like Michael used to do that, and then he stopped. And Billy used to do that, and he stopped. I got him to stop apologizing. Like, you're always prefacing before you say something. You'll say, now, y'all might not like this, but I'm a black man, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm because the reason I'm going to tell you this is because, no, just fucking say what you got to fucking say. That's all you got to do. Just say what the fuck you got to say. You know what I mean? So that's one of your major downfalls. And like I said, Chris, I haven't found any real problems with Chris yet. And Faith and I, we have a fucking zillion dysfunctionalities, but we know what they are, and we talk about them in private all the time. And Faith and I are a little fucking crazy. I mean, both of us. And so we know each other. We have a good relationship, Faith and I, because we're both a little bit crazy. We've been traumatized. Both of us have been traumatized to hell and back. Both of us have been embarrassed to hell and back. Both of us have been dissed to hell and back. Both of us have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and we have feared some evil. So, you know, we have a lot in common, Faith and I. Normally, Faith and I wouldn't get along at all. If Faith wasn't as mature and as smart and as objective and as observant and as mature as she is, her and I wouldn't get along at all. We wouldn't get along 10 minutes. And Spanky knows this because Spanky's been on with me with other females, and he knows that I can be really nasty to airheads. And Faith is not an airhead. Somebody in chat said you were an airhead the other night. Five people actually said you were an airhead. Faith, when you were talking about waving your hands and controlling the weather and you're doing this and doing that and all this shit. I don't want to get into it right now, but they said, you're an airhead. And I said, no, look. And then I started teaching them. We had a meeting. I had a private meeting with them, and they were wanting to know, how do you handle something like that or someone like that? And I said, you listen. You shut the fuck up and you listen. Shut the fuck up and listen to what they're saying, you know? And if they get too grandiose,
they watch Bruce Lee, you know, it's possible. There's actual martial arts that instruct how to even move people's bodies with energy. So there's a whole nother level of consciousness that maybe they don't know yet.
Yo, I took care of it. You didn't have to explain yourself. I took care of it because I told them that, you know, you have to learn to listen. And if something somebody's saying sounds way too grandiose, which I'm grandiose all the time, I'm grandiose to the point of sounding delusional sometimes. And the only reason people listen to me, I guess, sometimes is because I'm the senior host for 20 years on this fucking show, and I'm the chief executive officer, and I'm the, you know, the captain of the fucking ship. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'll fucking put the plank out there and get you to walk the plank. And I don't like that. I like for people to be on here because they want to be on here and they want to hear what we're all saying. And I think that's the main reason people come here, is not to listen to me, but they come here to listen to all of the interaction that we come up with, you know, all the stuff that we talk about and all of the crosstalk and all of the interesting subjects and things that we talk about and all of the weird shit that we talk about that most people shy away from and most people run. Oh my God, they run away and hide. They don't want to talk about it, you know, but we face it all. We talk about everything. Nothing's off the table. Nothing is off the table. I'm a free speech advocate, man. I'm like Larry Flint with Hustler magazine. You know, Larry was a free speech advocate all the way, man. He went to jail for free speech. And I'm the same way. You know, I believe in free speech. Ultimate free speech. No matter who it hurts, no matter who it damages, no matter who the fuck it triggers, I don't give a fuck how sick it makes you. I don't, you're going to get to talk and you're going to get to finish. Anybody have a problem with that?
Nope. Oh, where everybody else go?
I mean,
I'm here.
Well,
I had a meeting, but I'm
just thinking. Free speech can bring problems. Think about it, y'all. Think about it. People want to control your narrative. A lot of people want to steer your narrative. They want to re-steer, reorganize, restructure, realign your narrative. They want to bring you around to their narrative. And they may be listening to you, and they may be seemingly interested in what you're saying, but the whole time they're thinking about, how can I change her narrative? How can I change her mind or his mind? How can I bring them over to my way of thinking? You know? And so that's also very important. My Quora students are going nuts tonight. They're loving us. If y'all haven't been to Quora, y'all need to go to Quora and start working out and answering some questions. Very, very difficult questions, I must say, in the universe here of things. But, you know, I'm getting two PhDs, actually, and two doctorates. And I have a friend who has three doctorates. He's Jewish, and he's one of the most intelligent men, I guess, that I've ever met in my entire life. And we sit on the porch a lot on the mountain there at the Rogue River. And we just, you know, it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to sit down, two geniuses, two master Shias, you know, like him and I, to sit down with each other and converse is amazing. Because let me tell you why it's amazing, and then y'all can give me your opinion on this. And I'm hoping for a pretty clever opinion to come back. When two master Shias sit down together, two master teachers sit down together who are very multidisciplinary in their learning and their academia and their studies and research and experiences, you don't, everything just flows so fucking perfectly. It just, everything flows just as if you were sitting in a beautiful river and it was flowing by, you know, or you were watching white puffy clouds just float through the air. You know, if you've got two master teachers, you're not trying to impress each other because you don't have to. You can't impress each other. You're both about as smart as it fucking gets. You know, and so there's not, you're not sitting down to, oh, I'm going to impress this guy. I'm going to impress this guy. I'm going to tell this guy something's going to, yeah. None of that happens. You're both so goddamn smart that it's just unbelievable, and experienced and researched and well-read, well-educated. So tell me your thoughts on sitting down with someone. Tell me, Chris, you probably have experience with sitting down with someone who's one brick short of a full load and one French fry short of a happy meal, and they just want to gab and blab, and you know, you just want to stab while they're gabbing and blabbing. Huh?
Oh, definitely. No, definitely. More than once. And the thing is when you're working with someone that, and you gotta deal with every person differently. I mean, hell, one of them might just be an asshole. You know, it doesn't matter what you say.
Right.
They're a prick.
Right.
You know,
right.
But then you have somebody that's just super nice. And then you go and give them contradiction, and then now they shadow down. Or they turn around and come at you like a beast because they've been picked on their whole life. And they don't like, things. It might just be cuss words. It just might be cuss words. Just hearing them. Not that they're being directed to the person, just hearing them can set people off. And you gotta deal with every, but when I've got somebody that's definitely not playing with a full deck, I'll discuss some things because I want to know, for one, what high school did you go to? Did you graduate? And if you did, were you currently in 12th grade? If you were, I want to go and smack the fuck out of your teacher. That's where I'm at because you're a grown man, and I'm sitting here not understanding why you got a high school diploma. But, okay, we'll go with it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing how people are. I have brief conversations with people up here. You guys, I talk to you guys and girls more than I do. We can say you guys, Faith will understand you guys, but I talk to you guys more than I do anybody in the world. You're my family. I mean, I love you. There are people up here. I have brief encounters, touch and go with them, but most of them are one brick short of a full load or one French fry short of a happy meal, and they're just not able to handle an adult, mature, complex conversation. And it gets lonely. It gets very lonely. Mary was talking just today about how lonely it is for us because we're so highly intellectual. We're so driven. We're so passionate. We're so alive. We're so alert. We're so highly conscious, ultra-conscious of consciousness. And when you're that way, most everybody you're around seems mentally retarded. You know that, right? All of you know that. Reach a certain pinnacle in your life where you're so alert, you're so alive, you're so multidisciplinary in your thinking and so multiplex, and you've got so many different areas of expertise, and you've done your homework, you've done your research, you've done the thing. And like Faith has done all of these things, and I've done all of these things that most of you probably haven't here. Faith and I are probably the two most intense motherfuckers here. I mean, we've done every fucking thing from homeopathy to neuropathy to neurology to mind-brain connection to hive-mind connection to collective consciousness to astrophysics and quantum physics, quantum mechanics, to psychology, abnormal psychology, mind-brain connection, archaeology, geological, I mean, all of these things, astrophysics, cosmology, you name it. We've done all these things. And so it's hard sometimes to have a conversation with people when you've got so much knowledge and wisdom. And this may sound egotistical. Fuck you. I don't care. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Is what it is. And Spanky, you said yes, yes, yes. So you've probably had your share, and I know you have of people being in the business you're in. I know that you meet a lot of people and have a lot of conversations at a lot of really cool places, and you probably have met people like that where you just want to get up and say, I need to go to the bathroom, and then you slip out the back door on them.
Definitely. Definitely. I just sit back and say to myself, boy, where did they find this person at? And or else I'm sitting there and they'll say something and then I'll start opening up and they'll be like, I didn't know you know that. There's a lot that I know. people now, they're something else.
People are something else, I mean, I told y'all the other night I interviewed Jesus Christ. I think Faith was here. I think Chris was here when I said I interviewed Jesus Christ. That was a conversation right. and a half. Y'all should have missed, you know, y'all missed that one. Jesus was a little stoned, actually. he was a little bit stoned. But anyway, you know there's a lot of people, right, running around Jesus Christ, right, in the world. Did y'all know this, by the way? Do you know how many Jesuses there are running around out there?
I had about 25 different ones who said they were Jesus trying to mate me and make a sacred baby with me last year and the year before. For like the recent 5 years, this year it's lessened. Not as many people are claiming to be. I'm not even kidding you. Yeah, and they also claim to be Lucifer and Horus. All of those mixed into one little bucket. But not all of them, just some of them.
Yeah, of course.
You know. Yeah. But
well,
a lot
of people just want to make babies. Tell them to send you a postcard and make it an Immaculate Conception. Tell them tell them to do that.
That's a good idea. Huh.
No.
Prove it. Mm-hmm. Prove it.
I mean, after all, if they are Jesus or if they are Muhammad or if they are Atam or Asham or Ashua or Elohim or whatever, they could just do that, you know, Immaculate Conception. Bang!
I could energetically feel one of them trying, though. I actually energetically felt it. There's only like a couple who've energetically I was able to feel energetically, but you know, but
yeah.
It's just maybe it's a big imagination. Maybe it was just, you know, I am an artist. I have a wild imagination.
Well, I have a question for you, Faith.
Okay, Doug.
You know how much I cannot stand airheaded New Age women, starseeds,
yep.
You know, these little starseeds to think they're starseeds. I'm a starseed. Oh, I'm a starseed. I'm special, you know. And have you met these youngsters, though, these charlatans, these not even charlatans, it's just people who really believe some kind of shitty shit about
I've met those who pretend who went to the Reiki classes and studied their online courses and got their degrees, their little certificates, and they honestly have so much devastation inside of them that they pour that onto their clients because they are not supposed to be doing that job. They did it because it was a niche thing to do. It was
right.
The way to do the money market. What's in style? What's in fashion? Do they really acknowledge what starseed is?
Right.
Do they acknowledge that everybody is made of stardust? Like, everybody has some stardust
right.
in them.
Right.
It's what, you know, it's we're here, you know. And I think that there's some pretend and there's some real. What'd you say?
What I really can't stand on this show is for someone to come on, and Spanky's been with me on this one and Michael a million times. People will come on and they will start telling you shit that's antiquated news. I mean, it's something that is just totally fucking irrelevant. It happens, you know, like I don't care about fucking the Northern War of Aggression. Fuck. I don't want to hear about goddamn Civil War. I don't want to hear about 1776 unless you're talking about the Federalist and you can talk about Madison and you can talk about Benjamin Franklin and you can talk about the Northern War of Aggression instead of the Civil War if you know what you're talking about. But I can't stand people that come on the show and they start bringing up shit that we've talked about 1,000 times over and I've taught 1,000 times over. And then when I shut them up, they get mad and pissed off and hang up, you know. But anyway, that happens a lot on the show. I like for people to keep up with the times, like what's going on today, what's happening today. And by the way, y'all, I have some news, and it's breaking news, and I'm sure you already know it, but we have some dangerous stuff going on here. We have, we have 25,000, my producer's telling me, 28,000 people dead in the Mediterranean storm Daniel and massive flooding that is beyond. I'm looking at video that was sent to me that I cannot send out because of certain reasons. Recovery efforts are underway, and this is a catastrophic. They're calling it end times. Even the atheists are calling it end times. Recovery efforts are underway at this time. Catastrophic flooding, 100-foot tsunami waves wiped out everybody's businesses and sucked everybody out into the ocean depths of the ocean. They'll never find them again. In Libya, massive, massive, massive rescue efforts are underway at this time, with multiple countries involved. This recovery operation is underway in Derna right now. The city hardest hit, the devastating floods, more than 28,000 people are dead, and they're looking for thousands more. It's just unfucking believable. Rescuers cannot keep up. They don't have enough help. They don't have enough people. They're finding more dead bodies and more dead bodies and more dead bodies, and this Mediterranean storm Daniel is behind all of this widespread North African nation flooding that's going on right now. And it's washing away entire cities. I mean, just washing away entire cities and killing thousands. And over the weekend, swept all of the bodies out into the sea. They're not even going to be able to bury most of them or cremate them or find them or put them in caskets. But it's the port city of Derna was the worst affected following the collapse of two major dams that were busted there, wiped out a quarter of the area, if you could imagine that, in Libya. The city has been declared the worst disaster zone in history in the world, with electricity. All communications are cut off from the outside world. What's your opinions on this, folks? Have you heard about it, or am I just now telling you about it?
Reading about it. I've been reading about it and watching the videos and stuff and everything, and I'm saying to myself,
that is
very, very horrible. You know.
Yeah, can we say weather modification, folks? Can we say geoengineering at its best? man, you know, this is just unbelievable, catastrophic, you know. And when I look at I wanted to tell you all, I'm sitting on a computer here right now that y'all should look at. I'm gonna take a picture and send it to you. You're not gonna believe it, actually. I'm sitting on my 2 terabyte computer right now that could run the fucking Pentagon. I'm sitting on my 2 terabyte fully loaded, I mean fully loaded to the gills computer with direct access and direct internet. And I've got a brand new screen. One of my main screens that I use is a large screen. And I'm actually having to get used to this. Are y'all noticing a difference in the bandwidth tonight? Are you noticing a difference in the pull on audio and the sound quality is better? And it's better all the way around on this 2 terabyte. I could actually have done the Apollo landing with this computer I've got here in front of me right now.
Yeah, it sounds smooth. So just doing prayers to the souls that were transformed. But it sounds smooth, real smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good, but every now and then you keep dying down a little bit and stuff. But other than that, you sound real good.
Well, I've got to get a new headset for this one. This headset's not made. Do what?
Well, I'm in between two mountains. I said then again, too, I'm in between two mountains. And stuff, so it could probably be down here on my end, you know. Yeah, because I got so that's what I'm kind of thinking.
Well, you know, I was really impressed with our conversation last night, y'all, about coming together. I want to reemphasize, what are we doing with our lives? You know, I think all of us have to reassess constantly. What are we doing with our lives? I think from my own experience, Marion and I, we do reassessments on a daily basis. You know, we never, ever, 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 ever get comfortable. We're never conventional and we're never the same. And we're always open to new information, and we're always open to new ideas and concepts and philosophies, and we're always open to bringing in some of the smartest of the smartest talent. I told Faith, only 2 in 100 people make this team. Spanky's known this for a long time. Only 2 in 100 people make this team. And this is why it's been so difficult to bring people onto this team and taken so many years to do it. And here you all are. I believe you all have passed the 2 out of 100 tests, all of you that are here right now. You know, Elon Musk, I told you all what he did when he formed SpaceX and he was broke. He stayed in that room and he coded for 2 solid years sleeping on an army cot. And he never left the damn building. He had all of his food delivered. And, you know, that's amazing. That's amazing. He couldn't find rocket science. He couldn't find rocket scientists and engineers who could do the job. So I'm a speed reader also. He went out there and grabbed 1,000, 1,500 books, and he read every damn one of them. And he has a photostatic memory. I mean, one that's just unbelievable. And he became a rocket scientist and an engineer. What do y'all think about that? Somebody that's that self-driven. And he hires everybody down to the janitor, who cleans the toilets. He hires them. What do you think about somebody that's that driven?
It's the way to do things. Like, honestly, especially when running a company, I tried hiring others to do it. They couldn't do the job that I could do, that I do. I don't trust anyone to make what I make. And I'm getting ready to make big factories with my technology for the government, for the VA, and globally. And it's a lot to think about others putting their hands on what I create, because I'm going to have to trust that they can do it, and that they can do it the way that I can do it without me there. I see it as impossible. I honestly don't believe that others can do what I can do. That's why I work so hard. And I know that others, you know, are like that when they make their babies, when they make the project, and when they start to create it, they have to make sure that their hands are on it so that it actually comes to full fruition. Otherwise, they might have a hiccup somewhere in between, because the workers are not as dedicated and as focused and as driven as they, the ones who are creating.
I have never been able to pin down everything that you're doing yet, Faith, but we'll talk about it over the next couple of weeks. I've never been able to pin it down. And believe me, I've watched you and I've looked at you and I've really enjoyed watching you and listening to your different creative endeavors that you do. And Chris, on the other hand, I don't know what the fuck Chris is doing either. And him and I have known each other for a couple hundred years, but I don't really know what Chris is doing. But, you know, it's like Spanky. I don't know what Spanky's doing, but I know Spanky wants to be on this team, and Spanky is on this team, and Spanky has definitely earned his fucking place on this team. And I'm just really interested in what we're doing together and what y'all are all doing individually. I want to promote everything y'all are doing individually, and I want to be there as a consultant, advisor. I don't want to be the man. I also wanted to make a vow tonight to y'all. I have taken a vow, and besides being celibate for the last 15 years, I've taken a vow not to receive a salary from anything that we do for a year. I will not receive one dime from anything we do for 1 year. And I will consider not receiving a salary for the second year in order for this to be successful. And I'm putting that in writing to the team, all of you, each and every one of you. I have just enough money to live on, to eat, and to keep myself healthy. And I have the best doctors in the world, better than the president United States, the idiot up there they call the president. And I have good friends, and I have a wonderful home. I have a 31-foot palace. I'm mobile in off-grid, and all I need solar panels, which Chris has been talking about. All I need solar panels on top. I've got enough room on top of this son of a bitch to build a second story and move a family up there. But you know, so I could put some solar panels up there. Where was I? Oh, I'm not taking a salary. So I wanted you all to know. I wanted my team to know tonight that I'm. I wanted the team to know tonight I'm not taking a salary. It will all go back to you all. Whatever we decide comes out of whatever we do is all going to be distributed to y'all's causes. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to take a salary because I'm not taking a salary in my charity. I've never been paid for nothing that I've done for the 18 years I've been doing it.
Well, let me correct you on something. You should. I mean, if you don't take a salary, people are going to think you're an idiot because I don't need a salary because I'm a consultant and I'm your advisor. Marion's taking a salary, and Faith already knew that. Marion will take a salary as president and executive director. Faith will take a salary as president and executive director. And your secretary can take a salary, and a few of your consultants can take a salary. And everybody knows this, but if you don't take a salary, people are going to think you're stupid. I mean, but if you don't have any money coming in, then you can't take a salary. Let me finish. If you don't have any money coming in, you can't take a salary, okay? You have to have money coming in to take a salary. So, you know, if you do a funding proposal, nowadays the CPAs have a program. This has been since the 80s. They've had this since the 80s. Maybe you all didn't know this. But you can just write in the data points of what you're doing, your dream, your vision, your overview, your goals and objectives and all of the details of the situation and the office space and administration, marketing, public relations, advertising, plug the numbers into the computer and fucking bang, you've got an immediate fucking proposal for any investor in the world. The computer will do it all for you within, 30 seconds. You know, it'll be done. I mean, fuck, GPT can wipe it out, you know? So maybe y'all didn't know that. I mean, I'm a master at fucking GPT, and I don't even use it to write my articles with, but I'm a master at GPT. How many of you use GPT? 4.
I ain't never heard of it.
GPT-6. Well, y'all need to catch up on what the fuck's going. Y'all need to catch up on what the fuck is going on in the world. Faith, do you use GPT 5, 6, 7?
No, I don't have a laptop. No, my computer, I told you, needs a new hard drive. So I'm not using anything that can get hacked like that right now. My computer, I think, got hacked, and that's why the hard drive went out.
Well, I can hack you in 30 seconds, and, Spanky made an interesting comment the other night. I can hack your phone in 30 seconds. I mean, Spanky made a comment the other night about his name and where he was and stuff. And I already know where Spanky is, and I already know who his next-door neighbors are and where they bank at. But that's just me. I can trace your number and your IP address and several other data points and factors. But anybody can hack you no matter what kind of fucking firewall you have. It doesn't matter if you have a VPN.
Yeah, it's easy.
You know.
It's easy to hack somebody's location. I agree.
I've got a 13-year-old over here that can hack the fucking Pentagon. You know, he can get into the NSA database. So, you can buy hacking equipment online now. I mean, just you don't even have to code anymore. Just GPT will code for you. All you have to do is tell GPT what you want, and it will code for you. The only reason I need coders is because GPT is having trouble with my program. I gave it a chance to write some code for the program you and I talked about, Faith, and the one that Chris knows about, and the one that Spanky will eventually hear know about. But GPT couldn't get it right. GPT just couldn't get it right. So I need avatars. I need, flesh and blood, breathing, bone, men, women.
And I do have some coders. Yeah, I do have some coders. One of them owes me. One of them will cost money, but I told you I'll reach out to the one who owes me.
Okay. That'll be good. Because the sooner we can get this done, the sooner we can all retire and, and do our business and do whatever the fuck we want to do. I'll go sit in the hot tub naked and have a martini or a whiskey sour or something. And if I sit in the hot tub with the Dalai Lama, surely y'all can sit in the hot tub naked with me. You know, you're not too good for that. But the Dalai Lama stays naked all the time, so that's just the way they are. So over there in the Philippines too, my Filipino potencio badilio, everybody loves. We used to go out in the yachts and swim naked with the sharks. That's back when I was drinking too much. I don't drink at all right now. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink. But we used to go out in the ocean and fucking midnight and swim naked. Everybody would get half drunk and then jump in the ocean. But goddamn, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, what an idiot you were. God, I was an idiot. I'm so stupid. I mean, we were out there with some of the sharks, you know, these 20-foot-long fucking sharks that could just take one gulp and you're gone. But when you're young, you don't think about shit like that, do you?
I do.
Nah.
You don't think about shit like that when you're young, you know? And I used to water ski. I love to slalom, man. I love to slalom. Oh, I love to ski on one ski, man. And even as crippled up as I am right now, I can still slalom. Man, I can slalom. And we used to slalom in fucking 28 degrees, 29, 30 degrees, water freezing to death, man. I used to do some crazy shit. Let's play a quick song for our break. I'm getting a hot from New York here off the satellite. We need to do a quick song here for break, and then we'll be right back. Let's do a little City of New Orleans. Y'all, I bet y'all hadn't heard that one in a while. Here we go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with the roundtable.
Riding on the City of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you?
Yeah!
Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the City of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Card game with the old man in the club car. Penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. Feel the wheels rumbling neath the floor. And the sons of foaming porters and the sons of engineers write their father's magic carpet made of steel. Mothers with their babies asleep rocking to the gentle beat and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Nighttime on the City of New Orleans. Changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, and we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade.
conductor sings his songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train got to disappear in railroad blues. Good night, America, how are you? But don't you know me? I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Little Bob Dylan, one of the most mysterious men in history today, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Bob Dylan, boy, story about the reporter I told one night here that got to go up the elevator and actually sit with Bob Dylan and have an interview was like going to heaven and meeting with God. The reporter was shaking like a leaf and just could not fucking believe he actually got an interview with the man who does not do interviews, Bob Dylan. But anyway, that's a story for another time. I wanted to say thank you all for coming on tonight. We've got about 23 minutes left, and, I want to say I don't hear my team here talking very much about our syndicate and our objectives and goals and our potentials and possibilities to be a syndicate and to build a website and to come together and share all of our ideas and information and projects and programs and missions on the same master website. I would like to get some feedback from you boys and girls on that. Instead of me doing all the talking, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that's really getting this, or I'm the only one that's really passionate or interested about this massive move to cross-promote each other and build a single unified vision. Would anybody like to start and give me some ideas as to why I'm not hearing much narrative on this?
We're planning to have a meeting, all of us. Like, we're supposed to plan some sort of a meeting, if it's a Zoom call or whatever platform we're going to use, so we can start brainstorming on how we can bring that there, what we can bring there, what we can do for there with what each of us have, and how you can help us here. So I know that each of us have our visions, and each of us have what we are actually doing physically, actively, daily doing, our part.
Yes.
And when we mix that all together and we shake it into one, we have our very first community location that's collaborated together. And where we begin that is a question, because we're kind of stretched out. I know that a couple of folks over there with Chris and you are pretty close to my Michigan location. Is that accurate?
Maybe
has a Michigan
Chris.
Location. Chris, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk Chris about does. It in private. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that we have multiple locations. The Michigan for us is the orphanage and the rehabilitation location, as well as a safety location for deer and wildlife so that they don't have to get shot in the surrounding areas, which is hunting season. So it's their only safe
brilliant,
place to be at.
Brilliant narrative, Faith. Brilliant comeback. Chris, any comeback on my kind of doubt as to which way we're headed, where we're going with this unified vision?
Well, the first thing I'd have to say about it is we definitely need to have meetings. We need to talk about, we need to see about, because as we share each other's stuff, you know, these are key things, but it's also what is the action after we share? But make those initial little things, but it takes us to have
right.
meetings where you actually, you know, wind up meeting the other, you know, 25, 30 people that are on my phone every day doing something, and they're
yeah.
all doing something different.
Yeah.
At the same time,
yeah.
it's really one common goal.
And it's, you know, I want to see, you know, everybody's program be able to do what they want to be able to do, be able to have the funding to do what we need to do. That's the worst part about everything. You know, what we need to do, we don't have funding for. There is funding. It's just whether or not.
Oh, yeah.
You,
well,
you
now,
know,
who
the
here,
people that have the funding
who here,
don't really want you to give them.
It needs to be lucrative for them, too.
Who here,
so it has to become a business.
Who here is experienced as I am in getting 75 rejection slips from not only publishers, but now I'm a prolific writer, finally, and funding organizations and grantees and foundations. Who here is as experienced as I am in writing grants? And I'd like to know.
I ain't never dabbled in anything like that.
Who else?
Written grants before, yeah, for different companies and different proposals for different things, for different projects. So they have multiple projects I had to write that for and
well,
send it over.
You know, like Chris said, there are billions and billions, and I think you've heard me say this, there are billions and billions and billions and billions and billions out there. And the wealthy, I'll bring back George Carlin again. You ain't a part of the country club, and Spanky has seconded this many times. You know, it's like you have to know the goddamn secret to making passive income on the internet. I'm sure that, I don't know if any of you have dabbled or looked, but every other fucking YouTube video has some guru on there promising you $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $30,000 a month, whatever. And they're all pretty much scams. They're all pretty much wanting you to pay them $850 to get their program so you can learn how to do these things. Well, Marion and I have gone through all of this. We're studying all of this. We've studied all of this. Marion has three companies set up ready to go affiliate marketing. And I would like for you all to get involved in that in some way, shape, form, or fashion. She already has the companies built, the products in line. The products are there. They're listed. All of the articles, the description of the product, everything's there. So I would like to have these meetings so y'all can help her get that started so y'all with the passive income that's coming back in. We're not stingy, by the way, folks. We're not stingy. Let me say that again. We're not stingy. And Chris, you know, a board of directors, I mean, I have had to throw two people off the board of directors, and I've still got to do that legally. Marion does, tomorrow. I mean, Monday. But you guys are going to be, I hope, on this board of directors of Destiny, Global Communications Network. And I would like to meet your board of directors. You're meeting mine right here tonight. Here we are. I would like to meet your board of directors, Chris. And Faith, I would like to meet your board of directors and executive board and advisory board. What do y'all have to say about that?
Well, that's easy. All you got to do is come into one of our meetings. We have them about 3 or 4 times a week. As much as we're meeting anymore, I think we met less this week than we have, you know, all month. But we have meetings all the time. So you're more than welcome to meet everybody that either board members, directors. You know, I'm cool with that part of it. I mean, that the one thing is you know what kind of stuff can you bring to the table on their end just to open them up, but not necessarily you know like
well,
we do on
I'll
radio
be,
shows.
Let me well no let me say first of all that I'll be very very diplomatic and be a good boy. I do have a good boy side, by the way. This is my show, so you know I can be whatever the fuck I want to be here. But when I'm with y'all,
right.
I'll be very very diplomatic, very professional, because, you know, okay, I want you all to know that right now, okay? You'll see a whole different person, okay? So that's good. I know y'all take a deep breath. Y'all are all taking a deep breath right now going, oh, thank God. Thank God he said that. Oh, my God. Because you know how wild and crazy and confrontational I can be, and I'm not going to do that with y'all's groups at all. Okay, they'll love me, I promise. Faith, what about your board of directors, advisory, executive board, and board of advisors, consultants?
I am open to introducing you to those who I directly work with. As pertaining to the entire span of them, I don't have to deal with some of them. So I will connect you communicatively with those who I do associate with communicatively. So
I don't even want to meet them. I don't even want to meet them now. I just wanted to see if you would allow me to meet them. That's all I was after. And I like your answers. I like all of your answers very well. I just wanted to see what you've got going, and do you have a structured board, executive board, et cetera, et cetera, and are you having regular meetings like Chris said he was, and are your goals and objectives coming together? Are your goals and objectives set? Are your, you know?
Yes.
That's good. Y'all are my board of directors. How do you like that? That's pretty crazy, isn't it? And y'all are Mary's board of directors, because I'm just an old man here. I've got cancer again, and Faith is helping me with some of this. But don't worry about me. I'm just an old man. I'll clean the toilets. I'll sweep the floors. I'll do whatever. I'm not here to win popularity contests. I'm not here to be the big central fucking CEO or CFO. I've done that all my life. I've been the goddamn president of the Mental Health Association. I've been fucking, you know, president of four nonprofit associations. I've written grant after grant after grant after grant. I've gotten over $1.8 million in grant money and split that among several organizations. So I've done all that shit, and I'm just the old man now. So y'all don't look at me as some big CEO guy. I'm not trying to be that. Don't want to be that. I just want to be a simple guy. I'm retired, and I just want to be a simple guy, and I want to help y'all get your missions accomplished. And I would like for y'all to help Mary get her mission accomplished, her missions, plural. But just don't look at me as the big guy that's going to come in there. I want Faith to work with Marion to be more aggressive. She's the president and CEO. She just recently got her latest FBI background clearance. I just recently got my background clearance, FBI clearance. And she's very capable of working with y'all and being on your board of directors, and I think she would be an asset to any of you all that might invite her onto your board. She is squeaky fucking clean, and that's what you need on board members. You need a squeaky fucking clean. If you're not squeaky fucking clean and you don't have a good media director, they're going to come and find some dirty underwear stripe, and they're going to fucking kill you, and you're going to be gone. You'll be out of business. If you have anybody on your fucking board with spots on their background, you're fucking over. You're done. You're finished. You're done. You're finished. I guess you all have thought about damage control, right? Have you thought about damage control with your people? Have you looked into your people? I mean, if you don't have damage control, you need damage control, and you need a damn good media director, a public relations director, somebody that's going to handle situations, you know, when they come up to redirect. I just thought I would mention that to y'all tonight.
Thank you.
Have any of those things come up with y'all in your time history of
somebody? I'll do a background search, you know. I don't hesitate to do a background search if I don't trust somebody. Usually my mom does it. I ask my mom too, because she's pretty good at finding information. She does that kind of stuff on the side.
Well,
for
I'm not even
finding
a background search. I mean, it's more about just you've known them for a while, that's fine. If they're pretty cool, they're fine. And planning on sticking your neck out too far, you'll be fine no matter what kind of background they've got. But if you start getting famous, a little famous too quick, or a little big too quick, or running into some certain areas of, you know, the financial markets. I mean, everybody you're dealing with out there is a goddamn crook. Everybody you're going to be dealing with, if you get any amount of funding at all, is into extortion, murder, mayhem, RICO, fraud, you know, crimes against humanity. You're not going to get any money from any big foundations that aren't as corrupt as hell. So, hey, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? You're not going to find a goddamn funding.
You know, Charlie.
That's perfect. in every way.
You know the guy?
Yeah.
I connected you with on WhatsApp. I think I connect you on WhatsApp. Charlie said that.
Yeah.
That he's been the top lawyer globally for kings, queens, presidents, dictators, generals, just globally, even in China, that he speaks over 15 languages. And he's seen some stuff, but he comes in as a light being. He comes in as someone who has a soul that cares about others and wants to make sure that the money that they're investing, even if it is money that's not clean money, that it goes into providing sustainable solutions for creation. Like he's curing waters over in Oregon, you know, like dude has an ambition to use their money for the good of others. It's like kind of like Robin Hood, getting permission.
That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do with BlackRock. And I told y'all that the other night about I want to steal from Peter to pay Paul. You have to, and you have to get wealthy on debt. You have to understand debt. You have to understand derivative banking. You have to understand fractional banking. You have to understand finances to be a nonprofit director of any kind. You have to understand creative financing. You have to understand angel investors. You have to understand foundation investors. And you have to understand corporate investors. And that's exactly. My point is Robin Hood. I want to do the Robin Hood thing. I want to steal from the rich and give to the poor. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And Spanky's agreed with me on that one several times. I mean, we're going to steal from BlackRock and we're going to rob BlackRock. They're robbing and killing everybody around the goddamn world, you know.
I'm sitting here shaking my head.
Yeah, I've got a list of 500 major corporations right now with a total worth of over $4.3 trillion we can tap into. Y'all might want to think about that. I don't know. Maybe you won't. I guess I'll get some feedback, when we talk. But the money's out there, folks, in the billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, and you could just create money out of thin air if you know how. I don't think any of you know how because you're all broke. But, I mean, you can create money out of thin air. Once you get in the niche, you can create money out of thin air. Go ahead, Spanky.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm broke, but I'm comfortable and getting ready to expand that a little further, and I just lost my teeth.
Oh,
that's not good.
Oh.
That's not good.
Did you say teeth or your teeth?
Teeth.
Teeth.
Oh,
teeth
how
in my mouth.
How'd you lose your teeth? How did you do that, dear?
I don't know. I was just pulling the bottom one out and set it down on the bed. Yeah.
You were doing the tongue thing.
Wow. Yeah, I had a when I was playing baseball, the ball ricocheted off the bat, hit me in the mouth, and 120 miles an hour.
See, anybody in an executive meeting like this in a national, international talk show that would say they just lost their teeth has got to be one of the most honest, transparent, sweet people in the whole fucking world.
All right. Yep.
So
yep, I'm sitting here
there you go.
Thank right
you. Have been vetted. You have been vetted. Yeah, humble.
Yep.
See, that's what you're looking for, humble.
Yeah.
Let's get on that Clubhouse thing, or I'll have to, like I said, Spanky, I'll get you their information. I didn't do it this morning. We was on that fire too damn long, and we were on two fires, and we were on three fires, and so I didn't get to send it to you, but I will send it to you in the morning, their information, so y'all can communicate back and forth. And like I said, guys and girls, I'm not wanting to be the big wig here, the big Jesus, the Muhammad, I'm not wanting to be the big cheese here. Marianne's the one stepping into my shoes because I'm not going to live forever, okay? I'm turning 67, and I've been very, very, very sick. So y'all will be dealing with her, and I hope, Faith, you and her can have a long, ardent discussion, and you can help her be more aggressive and more like you. She needs that. She told me she needed that. And I hope you can help her with your healing touch and voice. I hope you can help her be more aggressive. She's smart as a damn whip.
We're going to try and fix you. Don't let go yet.
Yeah. She's listening to you. She just needs to be more open and not afraid of people. She's very passive, very passive. She's not even passive aggressive. She's passive. And you cannot be passive and be an executive director, president of a nonprofit. You have to be an aggressive motherfucker. Go ahead, Spanky.
Real quick. Yes, she got that voice, but then when she laughs, she reminds me of Fran Drescher. She got that Fran Drescher laugh and stuff.
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. She does. Yeah, I've been with Mary 25 wonderful years. 25 years, best friends. No sex, just best friends. And we love each other more than life itself. Romeo and Juliet without the sex. And it's just been wonderful. It's been wonderful. I haven't really missed the sex at all, really. Not to say that, you know, it's not in the back of my head somewhere, but it's just never been a real thing with me. But I just kind of wanted y'all to know how we fly, how we float, you know, Marion and I. And we're just soulmates, like Faith and I are soulmates. And so, yeah, that's cool. We got to go. We got about 3 minutes left. Y'all are great. I think it was a great show tonight. We got a lot of kudos here from a lot of different people loving the show. They've learned a lot. They've learned a tremendous amount of things, but they have a lot of questions I'm going to write down, and we'll pick it up on Monday. A lot of people have a lot of brilliant questions for us as a group. They think we are one of the most diverse, interesting groups they've ever encountered as far as multidisciplinary and multi-talented. So that's a good thing. And that's what makes for a good organization, is bringing all of those different talents together and putting them together in one room. You know, as I was going to say, last thing, we got 2 minutes and 40 seconds. When I used to run special ops and I used to run private contractors, working with a lot of different agents and operatives, we'd hop on a helicopter and we would never, everybody would start testing each other. Or if we were at the safe house getting ready to do an extraction, all these new guys coming in, you got Navy SEALs coming in, you got Army Rangers coming in, you got Black Ops assassins coming in, you got snipers coming in, you got explosives experts coming in, you got communications experts coming in, you got guys coming in that just like to kill you and eat your face off. And so everybody starts testing each other immediately. Everybody starts pushing each other around immediately, trying to push your fucking buttons. And I've done that with y'all, and I know you know it. Chris knows it. Faith knows it now. Thank you. Always knew it. Everybody pushes everybody's buttons until they see what you're made of. And if you're made of the right stuff, you get to get on the helicopter and go on the mission. So evidently, y'all have done pretty damn good. So listen, I'll see you all. I'll see you all Monday night, and we'll talk over the weekend, and I'll get the meeting place set up, and we'll start sharing some ideas and information and get this show on the road. I love you all. Take care. If you need me, you know where I am. Keep your head on a swivel. It's going to get mighty, mighty, mighty rough here, folks. I mean, I'm talking some really dangerous shit's coming in. I won't even get into it Monday night. I don't want to talk about it until probably Wednesday or Thursday. We'll get back in geopolitics, but we got some dangerous shit coming in, and most of you are not prepared at all for it, except maybe Spanky. Y'all are not prepared. I mean, we're talking some goddamned apocalyptic, dystopic, insane, crazy, twisted shit. Y'all take care.
Yes.
I love you. See you Monday night.